Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. So for about 2 years, my daughter has very consistently been asking for a skateboard. Anytime we're at a store that sells skateboards, even if it's Target, she wants to look at the skateboards. Anytime it comes up to her at all, any holiday at all, my baby girl has brought up getting a skateboard. So this year for Christmas, she got a skateboard. She got a skateboard and she got the whole setup. The wrist guards and the knee pads and the elbow pads and a cool t-shirt that says, "This is how I roll." helmet, everything. And she's super excited, right? Once we're done with all the Christmas formalities, she's on the rug in the living room practicing standing, and she watched some YouTube videos and reluctantly listened to a little bit of what her father and I had to say. Very little. She's excited, right? So I take her out in the back onto the big wide driveway so that she can try to skateboard. And she's super excited and doing pretty well, right? The neighbor overheard the next part, so I know exactly what it at least sounded like. She's like, "Look, Mama, I am good at this." And I say, "Be careful. Your feet aren't in quite the right spot." And then tears, just tears. Not only was her foot in the wrong spot, it was right on the edge. Her foot slipped off and down she went. I didn't see exactly the fall, right? My first thought was, thank God for the knee pads and the wrist pads and all of that. Well, everything under a pad was just fine. But on Christmas Day, 5 minutes after getting on her skateboard for the first time, my daughter broke her ankle. She fractured her growth plate in 3 places, and it swelled up and it bruised up fast. Yes, it was scary, right? Yes, it sucked. Yes, she cried. But you know what she didn't do? And what she hasn't done, not even once? She hasn't even entertained the idea that she would never get on that skateboard again. And I've thought about that a lot since it happened. And every time since, you know, it's been days later, I'm recording this on the 3rd of January, she hasn't even suggested that she would be too afraid to get back on that skateboard. Not to mention the fact that she wasn't afraid of it in the first place, right? She wanted to try it. She prepared herself what she thought was enough. Perhaps she's learned a little bit of something about that. And she went for it. And she hasn't let a setback get her down. Now, don't get me wrong. She's had rough times. It sucks to be hurt. It sucks to have a cast up to your ankle and have to move around with a walker because they don't really want kids her age using crutches. It sucks to be hurt over your vacation. All of these things suck, right? But through this process, I've also been pretty blown away by the emotional intelligence of this child. Again, something we all need to hear and learn from. So she broke her ankle on Christmas Day. The day after Christmas, we went to the pediatrician. We went in and we had x-rays and all of those things. We weren't able to get her into children's until the following day. And it was that day that my baby finally had a breakdown. we go to Children's Hospital, and bless her heart, she also ended up with strep throat, so she had to wear a mask. And she's just the cutest thing, right? She is brave through all of it. She comes home and she's brave all day, and it's nearing the end of the day, and I happen to be in my office doing a little bit of work, and she comes and she sits down in the chair where my clients sit. And she takes a deep breath, and quiet tears start to roll down her cheeks. And she says to me, "Mama, I'm having a hard time." And I said, "Oh, it's okay, baby, right? Of course you are. What are you thinking?" And she says, "My ankle is broken, and it's Christmas break, and this sucks, and the boot is heavy, and, you know, I can't walk around, and I can't do anything, and we can't do all the things that we talked about doing." And she lists her little grievances, and then she takes a deep breath, and she says, "And that 6 weeks the doctor said it would take seems like forever from here." I was so blown away. It took me a minute, and I am not one to be at a loss for words. And of course, I told her what we would all tell them, right? That all of this is very normal, and that I'm so proud of her ability to calmly and so thoroughly share what's going on inside of her that is making her a little cranky and a little short with specifically her brother. And sad. But never once did she say she was afraid. Sometimes we confuse our emotion, our release, our overwhelm with fear. Perhaps it's because my daughter knows what fear really is, right? Those of you who've been listening long or know me well, you know what I say, and I didn't invent this, that fear stands for, right? Think of the letters F-E-A-R, false experiences appearing real, right? False emotions appearing real. It is just when we let all of the overwhelm of it all, right? We let all of that take over and we become afraid and we don't take things apart, right? My girl took it apart. These are all of the things that are adding up to the way that I feel right now. Yet as adults, we forget to do that sometimes. We go way down in a deep, dark hole, and we decide that that's all that exists. And then we say, "Well, I will never, ever do that again." And sure, there are some things we should never, ever do again. But most of the time, we need to get up. We need to slow down and let ourselves heal. And then we need to get back on that skateboard. My daughter is a fearless being. We should all be more like her. She has a t-shirt. It says, "This princess wears cleats." It's true. She plays soccer year round. Not right now. My princess does wear cleats. And she also thinks being a princess is overrated. She reminds me, I am no princess. I am queen. But when I hear her talk about how she feels, when I hear her talk about the fearlessness that will allow her to begin again, I think being a cleat-wearing princess sounds like a terrific goal in life. There is a way of explaining fear that is similar to Russian dolls. Do y'all know what Russian dolls are? Those are, they're Russian. They're the dolls. They're wooden. And there starts with kind of a large one and you open it and there's a smaller one inside and you open it and there's a smaller one inside and you open it and there's a smaller one inside and you keep going until you get to a hard, tiny nugget, right? This is our thinking so often. This is our fear so often, right? And a lot of times we keep it all encapsulated. We keep the big fear, I guess, for fear of finding out what's inside, right? What's inside? What is at the very center of all of these layers? And do we need to let it own us? Absolutely not. The truth is the fear itself is empty. If you take all the tiny fears out of the center, you have an empty, hollow Russian doll. Just like our fears are empty and hollow when we start to take them apart. Now, you can argue with me all day. You can say it is full of some horrible ex-wife. You can say it is a result of some abusive parent. You can list all sorts of things that have filled up your Russian doll of fear. But the truth is, when you take each one apart and you let it stand on its own, it is nothing but a hollow shell. A hollow shell that you could crush beneath your feet or keep on a shelf as a symbol of how very strong and powerful you have become. Do not allow experiences, specifically things that are a one-time event, right? Like her falling off that skateboard. Do not allow that to create cognitive loops of dissent within you. A cognitive loop of fear and thinking that keeps you from experiencing the world, from trying again, and from moving forward. There is absolutely not one successful person out there who has not had to overcome the cognitive loops and the Russian dolls of it all, right? Maybe their Russian dolls aren't as ugly as yours. But that's perspective, right? If they have never experienced the pain that you have experienced, then their seemingly simple pains are equal in their lives as the horrible things that you have seen yourself. Someone who becomes a full-grown adult before they have ever seen death, and then their dog gets hit by a car, that is going to have an impact on them equal in their world as the loss you had of a parent when you were young. When we allow ourselves to have empathy and see that way, then we can understand that it is as big to them, that person with the silver spoon in their mouth who their parents were famous and now they're a famous actor and it seems like they've overcome nothing. They've overcome things we cannot understand. So we have to quit comparing ourselves to others. When my daughter fell, there were two teenage boys skating nearby. If she had looked at them and compared herself to them, she would have certainly felt like a failure. But she's never seen if they sprained their ankles or broke their wrists. She's never seen if they were screamed at by a parent to get good at what they were doing. She's never seen what they've gone through. And by the grace of her intrinsic being, or perhaps something that I or someone else has said to her, she knows better than to compare her journey to theirs. And so she gets up and she smiles. And when she's hurting, she asks for help. And before you know it, that little girl is going to be skateboarding circles around those teenage boys. Because she has no fear, right? Doesn't mean she doesn't have emotions. It doesn't mean she doesn't have thoughts. It doesn't mean that she will not be wearing ankle protection the next time she gets on her skateboard. But she will get on. And you, beloved, will change careers or fall in love or whatever the thing is that you could allow yourself to be too afraid to do. my princess wears cleats. What do you wear? What do you need to remind yourself of how powerful you are? Get yourself that symbol, whatever it is. Is it a watch that belonged to your great-grandfather? Is it a crystal bracelet? Is it a tattoo? Is it the screensaver on your cell phone? I don't care what you use. Come up with something. Let it be your symbol of power. Let it remind you to crush the Russian dolls beneath your feet and move forward. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and we were talking about getting rid of the things that you don't need, that do not bring you joy, do not bring you passion. And the analogy that came up for me is your underwear drawer. Now, bear with me. Every person, adults at least, probably kids too, has a drawer full of underwear, and you probably wear about a third of them. Right? When you get to the pairs you don't really like, you go digging through the laundry room to see if there's any clean ones in the dryer or whatever. Right? Why do we keep the crappy pairs we don't like in the back of the drawer? Why? What do we do that for? The ones where the seams are uncomfortable or they show through our pants or they're stretched out. Why do we keep the old underwear in the back of the drawer when what we really need to do is throw them away? Why do we keep the Russian dolls stacked one inside of the other? Why do we keep our fears? Why do we hold on to those things when they are nothing but rocks, dead and useless? When what we really have is opportunity and potential. False evidence appearing real, false experiences appearing real, false emotions appearing real. Yet fear is not real. Fear is the shell that we put around the other things that we're feeling. And so, when we're letting ourselves be trapped inside that hard shell, perhaps each and every one of us can remember my girl and that story, or the Russian dolls, or someone that you know that has shown fearlessness in the face of every good excuse to give up. Don't allow yourself to give up on the things that you want to accomplish in your life. Just keep going, right? Just like Dory in Finding Nemo, right? Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. But we need a little bit of short-term memory like Dory from Finding Nemo, don't we? We can't keep thinking about what went wrong. If my sweetheart keeps replaying falling and the pain and seeing the x-ray of her ankle, if she keeps replaying that in her head, the fear will live on. Instead, she's thinking about how incredible it's going to be when she is skateboarding circles around those teenage boys. And we should all do the same. Let's let this be our goal this week, beloved. When the fears rise up, we say, oh, yeah, it's real. It could happen, but it has no power. And what is much more likely is the things that I allow to live strong in my mind. And so we put our power and our presence there. We put our energy and our emotions there. We let the rest sit on the desk, on the shelf, on the side of the road, or we blow it to smithereens with the power of our imaginations. Highest form of prayer, beloved. Never forget it. Have a wonderful week, beloved. Namaste.
Hi, my name is Connie, and I wanted to tell you a little bit of my experience and my relationship with Jennifer. When I first met Jennifer, it was a very emotional and intense meeting. That day when I had walked in the door, I could feel this charge of emotion and care and kindness. It was nothing short of amazing. Also that day, I received something that I never thought I would ever, ever get. It changed my life, literally. Or that day when I left, I was a changed person. I had a new outlook on life. I was happier. I felt lighter. It was something I will always be grateful for. Since then, our relationship has changed. It's become one of the most incredible. I'm fighting for the words because I don't know if I can find the words that are big enough to express how much it means to me. You know, excuse me, I'm getting a little verklempt. The things that I've learned about myself, about the world around me, about my spirituality has been priceless. And the level of gratitude I have in regards to that is just immeasurable. I don't know how I would go on if this relationship wasn't in my life. But I know that I've learned so much that I would be able to go on. So I'm grateful for that too. I became a patron of the podcast because it gave me the opportunity to support and nurture something that nurtures my spirituality and me growing as a person and becoming my best self. I'll always be grateful for it. It'll continue to go with me throughout the course of the rest of my life. There's so much love that is put into this, and supporting its growth will benefit this world. Namaste.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Jen in real life. That is patron-only content. If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.